Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Greg Isaac filling in for Dave Isaac, who is out ill today, but he should be ready to go for Friday's Breakthrough Sports. We have a great show for you here on 1010 AM KXXT Phoenix, and you can also watch us online at breakradioshow.com. And we have Kurt in the house in the producer studio, and we are waiting Scott Sakoff because it is Click and Brick Confidential today from 2 to 3, and then from 3 to 4, Terry Cass leads the Real Estate Update panel. Terry and Ken McCormick, usually on the show, but I do believe another representative from American Financial Lending will be in today for Ken, and Ken will be back next month. So interesting show with Click and Brick Confidential, but before Scott gets here, you know, we could talk about some stuff maybe we have going on. Big topics in the world, in Phoenix in general, is the Phoenix Coyotes ownership situation. You know, we talk about all the time on our Breakthrough Sports. If you we had Darcy Olson, President CEO of Goldwater Institute, on a couple weeks ago. Julie Frisoni from the city of Glendale talked a lot about it with us. And Bill Daly, the Deputy Commissioner of the National Hockey League, we had on last Friday. So it's a very interesting scenario. You know, we've seen Grant Woods and John McCain both come out, and especially McCain really saying that the team absolutely needs to stay here because it would be so terrible for the economy, you know, in Glendale and the whole state of Arizona if they left. Regardless of what you think of the deal, I mean, yeah, it may not be the greatest deal when you see it on first hand, but the club leaving would be far worse. And plus, there's a lot of great potential if they stay. So hopefully that works out. And Grant Woods, the former Arizona Attorney General, had some words about it, saying that the deal should be fine. But the Goldwater Institute is still, you know, but we expected that, you know. But I think they'll work around it a little bit. So
it never stops.
It never does. This is one of those situations that's been going on for about 3 years now. And Coyote fans and NHL supporters and taxpayers and Glendale, you know, just been waiting to see what's going on. And, you know, the answer you get from a lot of folks that don't like the situation is they say, why doesn't Matthew Holsizer put his own money into the deal? And, you know, and that's a good question. But on the other hand, you know, he is going to be covering the losses. And the fact that now the team would have a stable ownership, they're a good team. The fans will keep coming in. You know, a few years ago, I believe it was a 2006-2007 season when Jerry Moyes was owning the hockey club, they averaged about 15,000 per game, which isn't too bad. And that's when they were one of the worst teams in hockey. Now they're a playoff team. They should make the playoffs again this year. They're in a pretty good spot. And, you know, more fans will be coming, not just the Coyote fans, but you also see the gate from fans from out of town, like when the Blackhawks were just here. Yeah, there's a lot of Blackhawk fans, but that's good for the city of Glendale in general. And remember, a lot of these folks buy their tickets in advance. You look at a team like the LA Kings. They've sold out 30 games this year, phenomenal attendance. But when they play teams like Vancouver and Detroit, there's still a lot of fans from Vancouver and Detroit. But you got to remember, these folks buy their tickets well in advance. So it's not that the Coyotes aren't having their people coming out. It's that these fans buy them in advance. But all in all, at the end of the day, I mean, it helps the city. These fans spend their money at Westgate Region. And if this team's not here, I think a lot of businesses are going to have some issues over there at the Westgate Region and throughout Glendale in that area. So, again, you know, you can say what you want about the deal, but the fact of the matter is long-term, it's quite obvious that it would be far greater for this hockey club to stay. And so hopefully that happens. But we'll talk about that a little more on Breakthrough Sports this Friday, as this is a never-ending scenario. So
it's been going on for how many years now?
It's been about 3 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you hear a lot of stuff, oh, we'll end tomorrow, you know, end in 2 weeks, et cetera. And it doesn't, but it's just the situation, you know, it's just such a tricky situation. And it is a gray area, but the fact is you got to look out for the taxpayers in Glendale. And I know Goldwater Institute is saying their stuff, but just from a bunch of research, talking to legal folks, it seems that looking out for them would be getting this deal through and keeping the team here.
Yeah.
And there'll be revenue coming in. It's a long term. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight, but I believe in the future it definitely would. So,
well, the last Friday sports show, when you guys had a lawyer on, it was really very interesting. He was talking very dispassionately, not pro Coyotes or against the Coyotes. He was just saying, from a legal point of view, and your dad asked him a question, is there really a legal argument to be made? And then he actually made a case, I think as a lawyer, I could do that. And that was fascinating. Right. Now, I have heard since then that the country of Canada has gone hog wild because, they think they're going to move them next week, and that's not what the lawyer said. I come from a family of lawyers, and so I thought the question was asked so well. Just, from a legal point of view, could you make an argument? Could you honestly walk yourself into a courtroom in front of a judge, maybe even a jury, and then say, is there really something to be talked about here? And
right.
He went, yeah, I think I could. I was like, then it's not quite so cut and dry as we were hoping it might be.
Right.
Because obviously you have the fans who are, we've had them in the studio, we've had them on the air, and they're all saying, this is nuts. This is just crazy. These guys are just, blowing smoke, and it's like, that's their emotion coming through. And you can feel for them. They want their Coyotes, to be here. But from a legal point of view, they could make they can make a case.
It's possible. I mean, it's such a gray area. But the thing with Blake, who was on the show, is I believe he was strictly making it, like you said, from the law, from that legal sense. Not we weren't really looking at this deal in particular, so there could be some changes. But we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have him on again, and we could see what we could do to look as far into the deal as we can, because every situation's different. So,
well, absolutely, and that's really the fun of it. Was he wasn't talking? I have no idea what his own personal thoughts were.
Oh yeah,
he was just saying, as a lawyer, I could come up with an argument for this. And I thought that was interesting.
He did a great job.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Definitely, And we have Scott Sakoff in the studio, and Scott's friend. I don't think we've met before.
Tony Barrett.
Actually, I think we have met once. Greg Isaac here. And Scott, I don't know if you checked the message. Dave is out ill, so I'm taking his spot. You talked to him. Very good. Very good. So we've just been a little sports update before we get started here with Click and Brick Confidential. And
well, it's always great when we have Scott Sakoff in studio. He's come all the way from San Diego on his own private jet. So, and that's always fun. So.
So Scott's in the house here, and Scott, you did very well last week on your picks. You beat me.
Well, that's why he's a professional. See, that's why he makes the big bucks. He's hauling in those big bucks, and you're not. So
yeah. So and Scott, once you get settled in, we could go ahead and get started. Talk about Click and Brick Confidential, and we'll go till 3 o'clock, and then our real estate update panel will be in the studio with Terry Cass. And normally we have Ken McCormick, but there's someone filling in for him this month. He'll be back next month. So,
well, tell you what, we can go to a quick a break, and then we come back. I'm Benjamin. Scott Sakoff would be all ready for us. So
let's do it.
Well, that sounds like a deal. So we can do that.
We'll be back on Breakthrough Thinking, Click and Brick Confidential in just one moment.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Greg Isaac filling in for Dave Isaac today. And we have Scott Sakoff and Tony Barrett in the studio for Click and Brick Confidential. It's that time, that Tuesday. I don't know what Tuesday we're
it's
on
the
right
fourth,
now.
It's the fourth Tuesday. And I always forget when I look at a calendar, it just always sneaks up. So
it does.
We keep that San Diego to Phoenix plane ticket.
Yeah, there you
we
go.
We keep it handy just in case I miss my day. But it is the fourth Tuesday, so here we are today. Greg, we're going to talk about some things that Dave and I have really spent a lot of time on because it's where the future of, I believe, the future of marketing is going, whether you're a retailer or a manufacturer or a service company, whether you market business to consumer or business to business, the mobile space or the mobile marketing arena is where I believe and I think most smart marketing money is moving into the mobile space. And everyone has to make that transition because companies are always slow to change, especially when it comes to how they spend their dollars.
Right.
I brought an old school marketer with me, Mr. Tony Barrett, who spent years at Krager Wheels. Now, you're too young to remember Krager Wheels, but when I was 15, 16, 17, if you had a Camaro or a you had a Chevy Camaro or you had a Ford Mustang, you had to have your Krager Wheels. And Tony was one of the executives of the company, and he can tell you when they did a marketing plan, I bet you it was probably set in stone for the year and to change plans for a year or two. Or did you do three-year planning?
We did a number of years planning, starting at three, expanding to five. But the crux of the matter was is they were literally chipped away in stone and not very flexible as you are today. Whereas if you go through your first quarter and see that you're high, low, or whatever, if you're high, you're dancing and doing a jig. If you're low, you're finding ways to flex that and float it out to make the operations run a little smoother. But on the Krager side of it, their claim to fame was always the SS, which created quite a problem marketing-wise because the new automobiles are not lugged. And by lugged, I mean bolted up in the same patterns. So you had a lot of people that just couldn't put old wheels on new cars, and that was a major marketing problem with the company. How do you sell a product that has demand but no market, no application?
Well, you know, that's a little different sort of problem and maybe a tougher one to solve. But what I'm seeing, not only with our clients but with the industry, is that companies are surprisingly slow to change, even after everybody saw what happened with the internet. And everybody knows what happened 10 years ago. If you look at Y2K as the turn of the turn of marketing in terms of everything moving online, it all happened about Y2K.
Yeah.
It started in about 98, but Y2K was the year that most companies said, okay, now we have to market online. Here we are 10 years later, 11 years later, and I'm here to tell you that we have to move our money onto the mobile device. And so it's moving from the internet to yet a whole new technology and a whole new apparatus. And that means making some major changes in your thinking, in how you budget, in really how you approach your marketing. And, you know, we're seeing this all occur very slowly, and I'm really pushing our clients and pushing our company and pushing, you know, our associates to move quicker, because mobile is moving quick, and companies like Apple and the iPhone and companies like Motorola with the Droid, boy, if marketers don't make it happen quick, the manufacturers sure will, because they're building devices and technology faster than, frankly, we can keep up with the technology from a marketing standpoint. So, you know, first thing we have to do, and if you own a business and you're listening, what you want to ask yourself is, how is my customer using their mobile device today, and how does it affect my business? So I thought maybe we'll talk a little bit about it. You know, how are people using their mobile device, and what are they doing with it that should cause a business to change their marketing strategy sooner rather than later? Well, let's look at just first the easy stuff. If you have a smartphone, you're probably using it to surf the internet. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a hockey fan checking hockey scores, or you're an eBayer and you're doing eBay, I can tell you eBay built a mobile app as an experiment 2 years ago and said, let's put eBay on a mobile-friendly application, and let's see what will happen. Let's see if eBayers will shop and buy and sell on eBay on their mobile device. Guess what kind of sales they did in their first 12 months?
Great.
Guess what the volume was?
The volume? Oh.
Take a guess.
A guess of the volume. Tony.
It's a stab in the dark, I know.
Yes, it's a big stab.
It's $50 million in 12.
Really?
The first 12 months, there was $50 million of business transacting on mobile devices.
Just on mobile, wow.
Just on the mobile device. So,
wow.
So the eBay executives are sitting there going, okay, guess if you're an eBayer, doesn't matter if you're at home on your computer or you're out and about with your mobile device, you're going to be an eBay customer, you're going to use whatever technology is available to you to buy and trade and sell and do what eBay people do. Now, I'm not a big eBayer, but I understand the basic premise. There are some people who wake up in the morning and the first thing they do is check eBay because this is how they make a living. And then they go to bed checking eBay. So think about that. As soon as eBay made it friendly on the mobile device, people were using the eBay app on their mobile device. So surfing the internet is probably the most fundamental thing that consumers are doing on their mobile device. Now, it's true you have to have a smartphone.
Yeah.
Prior to the holidays of 2010, or Christmas of 2010, the estimates were that we were at about 18 to 20% smartphone users.
Oh, okay.
Christmas bumped it up another 5 or 6 points, and it's easily by this end of year going to be at 30-35%.
Yeah.
So one out of three consumers will have a smartphone. That means one out of three consumers are going to be walking around like I do now with an iPhone, and we check everything we would check if we were home at our computer. Mm-hmm. Check scores for sports fans. Yeah. We check our websites, if we're moms.
You can even do your banking on the phone.
You can do
now.
Your banking. Yeah. People are scanning checks and making deposits.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is exploding from a mobile device. And I don't have the research done yet, but we're in the process of researching Facebook And they're very slow at releasing information. They've got a little bit of a monopoly going, Facebook. They're a little threatened by people like Living Social and Groupon. But yeah, the truth is that Facebook was the fastest company to get to 50 million, a footprint of 50 million people.
Yeah.
Funny, 50 million's a number that's coming up here today. eBay did 50 million in sales, and Facebook was the quickest company to 50 million users. Now, how much of that Facebooking is done on a laptop or a desktop versus a mobile app? And how does that affect you as a marketer? Well, it's affecting a lot of marketers. I can tell you, those people who understand the ramifications are starting to think in terms of moving marketing dollars over to the mobile side to reflect the fact that a Facebook customer might be clicking through an ad, or somebody may be searching Google, doing a keyword search, looking for a restaurant tonight on their cell phone. Well, what does that mean? That means that if I'm the Chinese restaurant and I'm buying the word keyword Chinese food, I can't just be thinking about paying Google for internet presence on a computer or a desktop. Right. Or a laptop, I've got to be on Google Mobile. And I've got to make sure that I have a presence and I'm showing up on people's mobile device as well. So it's really an interesting dynamic. So here's the bottom line, that by the year 2014, hands down, and I'm being real conservative, because the truth is in some demographic segments, we're already there. But by 2014... the American consumer will access the internet more often from a mobile device than a computer.
Wow.
Our desktops and our laptops will be left at home. They'll be left at work.
Yeah.
And we will be left to play on our mobile devices the rest of the day. There's so much more moving to mobile devices that we won't even get into today. But just fundamentally speaking, if you look at surfing the internet, social media, and searching keywords on Google or Facebook, those three activities are taking the consumer away from their laptop and their desktop and putting them on a mobile device. And so as a marketer, I got to figure out how to be there. You know, think about this for a minute. You built a website and you did it. Let's say you're a company who built your website in 2005 and you know, you made a few upgrades and a few changes to it, and that's where most companies are at. Most businesses, and I'm not including the segment of businesses that don't have a website yet, there's still a segment of American business owners that have not built a website for their company. It's amazing to me that you would own a business and not think in those terms. But again, some people are that slow to change. But now you bring in the mobile aspect and you say, okay, I have a website. But the website I built that looks great on the computers, we have the Click and Brick website up on our computers here, doesn't look the same on a mobile device, doesn't play the same, doesn't have the same functionality. Things happen slower. Things happen differently. So companies are now saying we have to build a mobile application for our web presence. We have to take our website and build it so that it's mobile friendly. Whether you do that and completely rebuild your website for the mobile device, or you build an app, which is a separate thing altogether, because we all know there are mobile applications. That's a whole business unto itself. Curious, have you loaded mobile apps on your phone?
I do, yeah.
What kind of apps are you loading?
Well, I have a Droid, but a NHL Game Center, my banking information. There's so many different types. There's not that I read this, but there's horoscope apps. There's even a app that claims that they could. I think it's your heart rate. That you know, there's just so many different types of things.
There's an app for
it's
everything.
Unbelievable.
There really is. I think that in the iPhone app store right now, there's over 500,000 applications.
I believe it. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people getting into the business of creating mobile apps. So, you know, what we're doing at Click and Brick is taking our look at our clients' business and how they market, and we're trying to break this down into manageable chunks. Because if you look at this whole mobile space, you could get very panicked very quickly. You could say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is crazy. All of this change is happening so fast. You know, where do we start first? And you start with the fundamentals and the basics. You don't start building a mobile app unless you first have your website mobile ready. So you start with your website, tackle your website. As a business owner, have the people that built your website come in and look at it and have them tackle it and give them the challenge of building it so that it's that your website is ready for a mobile device and that one can view it. Now, that might mean some slight modifications depending on how your website was built. It might mean starting over. Some companies have scrapped their website that is used on a computer and built something completely different for the mobile phone. So you can go a number of different ways with this thing, from building a completely different type of website. The NHL is a great example.
Yeah.
They have two different websites. They have one for a computer, if you're sitting at a computer, and one for your mobile device. And I think most every sports fan has come to learn, hey, wait a minute, the website I look at on my cell phone or my mobile device is very different. I think women understand this because they're shopping websites and they see a different look and a different feel on their mobile phone. So the message to business owners is get ready, start planning, start preparing, get with a professional who understands this whole mobile game. And as the weeks go on here, we're going to talk a lot more about some of these other mobile things we can do. I know at the bottom of the hour here, we're going to get an update from our friend Richard Cohn, who is out running across America.
Yeah.
I think you remember Running Richard.
I've heard that.
He is going to join us at 2:30. He's out in the Central Time Zone. I believe he's somewhere out near Biloxi, Mississippi.
Wow.
But Richard will tell us how it's going out there. And we want to keep up with Richard's run because he's doing this great cause, ties in with business, because Richard's story is one of, unfortunately, very common. Richard is one of those business owners that in fact lost his business. So we'll hear from Richard in just a minute.
That'll be great. Richard will join us and we'll be back in a minute with Breakthrough Thinking.
Arizona Station 1010 KXXT on the web at familyvaluesradio.net.
Are you suffering from pain in joints, whether from arthritis, osteoporosis, stiffness, or old sports injuries? You can be pain-free with BioVaxin Joint Free. Don't settle for pain. Call 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961. BioVaxin Joint Free comes in a 100% delicious natural liquid, which gives you the highest absorption versus generic pill forms with low absorption rate. Because of its quadruple action ingredients, many people experience pain-free results within 48 hours. BioVaxin Joint Free increases joint mobility, decreases joint stiffness, and nourishes your joints with the highest grade glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, hyaluronic acid, and all of your essential minerals and amino acids. Restore your joints, save your bones. Without mobility, we have no life. Conquer your pain once and for all. Call now for your free bottle when you get to. Call BioVaxine at 800-288-1961. That's 800-288-1961.
Huzzah!
The Renaissance Festival is back!
It's awesome!
Love it. It's great for the family. All our kids love it. That's why we come here.
Weekends, February 12th through April 3rd.
Good times can be had by all.
It's the best time we have every year. It's a great time for everyone.
Join us at the Renaissance Festival!
Come and have a turkey leg.
The Renaissance Festival is back. Weekends, February 12th through April 3rd.
That festival is so awesome.
Discount tickets available at Fry's and Fry's Marketplace or online at RenFestInfo.com. Presented by Delta Airlines, Fry's, and Pepsi.
You gotta come see it. You know, you come out here and you really have a good time. My kids love it.
There's lots of shops to go to.
Hair braiding.
Blue face painting.
Oh, and I really like the meat sticks, the turkey. Whoa!
Huzzah!
There's so much going on. Make sure you come out early and stay all day.
Pepsi is a proud sponsor of the Arizona Renaissance Festival. Enjoy a Pepsi with royalty at the Renaissance Festival this weekend. Huzzah!
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Click and Brick Confidential. I'm Greg Isaac, filling in for Dave Isaac, and we got very own Scott Sakoff and Tony Barrett with us in the studio, and I believe any minute now we'll have Richard Cohen calling in, and that's going to be pretty nice, updating us on the situation there. Richard's running across the country to raise awareness about the unemployment problem, and so that's going to be interesting to hear how that's going.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's for me to stand here and talk about, you know, marketing your business and spending advertising dollars when there's business owners like Richard who lost their business. Yeah. And Richard chose to turn his pain into a purpose and take his plight of losing his business and losing his home and everything he had worked very hard for 30-some years, and he decided to turn it into a run across America for charity. So Richard is running for two charities, and he's going to update us on where he's at. He's out there running somewhere. He left Jacksonville, Florida. He stuck his foot in the Atlantic Ocean, and he'll finish his run sticking his foot in the Pacific Ocean in San Diego.
Wow.
And I don't know if we got Richard on the line.
He's
Richard,
on the line
how are
with
you?
Us now.
Yeah. Hey, how are y'all doing?
Hey, Richard, how are you?
Good.
Good, Richard. It's Scott here. I'm with Greg Isaac. Dave Isaac is not with us today. He's under the weather, but Greg, his son, is with us. And
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Great, great. I sound like Dave, but I look a lot different, luckily. So.
Okay.
Richard, I've also got one of my Click and Brick associates, Tony Barrett, with us here in the studio. We were just telling everybody we think you're somewhere in Mississippi, so why don't you tell us what's going on out there?
Well, yesterday I ended in Ocean Springs. I'm just on the east side of this bridge that goes into Biloxi. So we decided to stay in Biloxi, and I actually decided not to run today, to just kind of relax and sit on the beach with my wife so she can take a break from the rigors of traveling with me across the country. So yesterday when I finished, we were at 480 miles. So tomorrow, when I finish in Gulf, a little past Gulfport, I'll have my first 500 miles in.
Wow! And the total run across the country, Richard, again, is how many miles?
2,341 miles.
Wow!
It's crazy. You know, Richard, yeah. Before you joined us, we were talking about mobile marketing, and you know, Richard, when you had your business, your retail business, we, of course, started to look at mobile marketing, and we're talking about the irony here of having a show addressing, you know, business owners' needs in terms of advertising and marketing when there is, in fact, a whole lot of guys like you who, no matter what you did, no matter what buttons you pushed from a business standpoint, you just couldn't compete anymore. Why don't you tell everybody what you saw happen to your business and what you see happening to small businesses?
Well, I think in a nutshell, when we moved from Boston to Atlanta and bought this small baby furniture store outside of Boston, outside of Atlanta, the whole economic climate was totally different. This was really before the internet e-commerce started. Vendors were not selling to the, you know, big boxes like they are now. So, you know, specialty stores were where consumers went, and they depended on good customer service and friendly people who knew they were talking about and, you know, about their products. And just over the last 6 to 8 years, it seems like the competition with the internet, with the large department stores or big boxes like Walmart and Target, just the whole climate of a small business owner being able to make it is just has become very difficult. And, you know, when you go into business for yourself, you have a lot of things that you have control over, but there are a lot of things that you don't have control over. And in the recession that we're still involved in now, people are afraid to spend money. They're concerned about their job security. So it's extremely difficult for small businesses to survive.
Hey, Richard, how much do you feel the internet played a part in the demise of specialty stores?
I think that as far as our store was concerned, or even our industry, I think it was a huge factor. In fact, what I saw that we turned into was more of a like a showroom. People would go online, they see the products that they wanted, they wanted to feel and touch it, so they would come to a store like ours. They'd come in pretending like they were shopping and actually be able to see and touch the products that they wanted, and then they would leave and buy it online. So not so much the furniture, but all the other, the smaller items, the metal products like strollers and car seats, we got to the point that we just eliminated those products because we just couldn't compete.
You know, I see so many parallels here, Richard. What we were talking about before you came on the air with mobile marketing, and the same sort of thing is going to happen as the world moves to the mobile device dominating our life, and consumers walking around having total control over pricing, and not only will they have shopped price before they leave to go to a retail showroom, but they have the power of the price at their fingertips with their mobile device in hand. How often did you see women walking through your store with a mobile device checking up on your prices and comparing you?
You know, in the last, I'd say, a year or two that we were open, it was just a regular thing that people would come in, and we had this huge gallery of gliders and recliners, and they would just sit in there on their cell phones, and we got to the point that they would come up, they'd show us what was online, and it was our option whether to meet the price and get the sale or pass on it. I mean, we always met the price because a little of something is better than nothing of something else. So at first I would get upset because I thought that's kind of insulting. They're in my store, they're walking around with their cell phone, they're shopping, and then they come up and want to bargain with you. But I mean, that's the way of the world now.
Well, and I want to jump in and say this is quite apparent to me what we have going on here. Richard, so everybody listening understands, Richard is not alone. He was a businessman that made those decisions he could make and had control over from the standpoint of customer service, the merchandise he had in his store, the operations. So he did everything right that he could control, but yet this American economy, and I think the world economy, the global economy we live in, that technology is just sort of consuming, just swallowing businesses up. Because as Richard stood in his store with all of the right merchandise on the floor and, all the right customer service, in fact, if anything, Richard ran a family business where, they got to know their customers by name, first name basis. And sometimes you get to know your customers so well, you end up giving them a deal maybe you shouldn't give them. But here is a classic case of a small retail business being gobbled up by technology, in my opinion. Not that the big boxes and the big, the big boxes who Richard competed with, stores like Babies R Us, not that that didn't have an impact as well. But I think technology, the stuff that we talk about on this show, that Click and Brick is focused on, trying to move small to mid-sized businesses to move with the technology instead of fight against it. Richard, I know if you were still in business, you'd be one of those guys moving with us, moving toward the mobile device and doing what you had to do to adopt the technology rather than fight it. Unfortunately, there's just all too many Richard Cohns of the world, and that's why you're running. Richard, tell everybody about the charities you're running for, and let's get away from the business side of this for a minute and talk about the purpose of your run.
Well, I figured while I was running, I might as well maybe serve some benefit for some organizations. So I chose two charities. One is United Way, which has a division called 211. This organization, part of United Way, helps individuals who are in situations like I'm in, where they're unemployed, they really have lost everything. They send you to agencies, or it's like a one-stop shop if you need food stamps, if you need help with some rent. They help you find a job, and it's pretty much a one-stop shop for directing you in the right direction to get a new start. It's an excellent organization. Like I said, it's part of United Way, and in fact, the this 211 program was originated in Atlanta. So that's one of the charities. The other one is called Nefesh B'Nefesh. It's a Jewish organization, worldwide organization that helps individuals from all over the world who want to get a fresh start and become citizens in Israel. They'll help with housing. They'll help you look for jobs. They'll give you lessons, Hebrew lessons. They'll pretty much help you in every aspect to get started in Israel.
Now, it's so tempting, Richard, listening to you talk about your charity, Nefesh B'Nefesh, the Jewish charity, to turn this whole show into a political conversation. But here we have the only democracy in the Middle East, this little country the size of New Jersey. And I was reading the other day about the United Nations and other countries wanting to boycott Israel and Israeli products. And I thought somebody in the Israeli cabinet had a great comeback. They said, good, why don't you boycott us? Because if you do, you'll give up almost every medical device, every medical cure, every major advancement in technology. The Israeli companies are at the backbone of Jonas Salk and polio, and I could go on and on. But it's so interesting you chose that charity, because we're living in a time where we could sit and talk about, you know, marketing all day, but a small business's challenges marketing their company seem so minor compared to what's going on in Libya and in the Middle East, in the West Bank and Gaza. And so I commend you, Richard. You're not just out there running for the heck of it. You're really running with a purpose. And hopefully, you know, there's not this long-sustained depression. You know, some people say we're in a recession. You know, we could almost call somewhat of the economy a depression. But how long are we going to stay in this? Nobody knows for sure. But as you keep running and raising money for charity, I hope you bring a lot of light to how many small businesses like you have closed their doors. And Richard, nobody really has a number on it, do they?
Well, no. And also another thing is that, I've been in business for myself for over 37 years, and I've been through quite a few recessions. I mean, that's just part of the cycle of economics. But this one is totally different. It's lasted much longer. It's much deeper. And in fact, I call it a recession / depression. I think the only difference is there aren't tent cities set up like there were in the late 20s. But this This is recession slash depression has been extremely harsh and cruel on small businesses. There hasn't been a whole lot of attention put on helping small business, and you know, I want to make sure that people understand that small businesses like mine and you know thousands of others out there, we're the backbone of employment. You know, we're the largest employers in the country, and it's slipping away. This whole area of employment is slipping away.
Well, I think we're going to hold that thought and take a commercial break, Greg.
Yeah, Richard, we'll be right back with you here. This is Richard Cohen calling and talking about his run for charity, and we'll be back on Breakthrough Thinking in just one moment.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Greg Isaac filling in for Dave Isaac, and it's Click and Brick Confidential with our very own Scott Sakoff and Tony Barrett. And joining us on the line, we have Richard Cohen with us, and we've been talking to Richard about his running for charity. And Scott?
Well, I'm sure that Tony probably has some questions for Richard, because Tony, my associate with Click and Brick, he's been involved in some major corporations, major international corporations and small businesses. And I'm sure Tony probably has a question or two. So, Tony, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks. Good afternoon, Richard.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good. Having gone through a similar dilemma in 08, it's like someone froze the clock in 08. You know, I was one of those that woke up with a whole bunch of work to do and no work.
Right.
And basically ended up burning a whole bunch of cash and saying, you know, here's a business from 1987 that need to be shuttered, and shuttered quickly. But I want to swing my momentum a little to you, because I got to ask you a physical question, because I know what the demands are on doing what you're doing, as I have runners in my family and have participated a little, and will challenge our listening audience. Try doing a 5K or a 10K, and that's just a brief 3 miles, 5 miles, and see how you feel the next day, and start knocking off 25, 26 miles a day, 7 days a week. And the challenge there is the physical aspects. Are you keeping up physically in terms of what the toll is going to be on the run that you're taking?
Well, I fortunately, I've been running since February 14th, and I really have had no serious problems. I started out just getting a tremendous number of blisters on my feet, but those were using a lot of Vaseline every day, and you know, I ran about 200 miles training for this before I even started. So the 20 miles a day that I run, I'm not pressuring myself to do it in any specific time frame. I'm running, usually takes me between 4 and 4.5 hours, just depending on how long it takes at convenience stores when I stop to get something to drink or eat along the way. I'm running, I guess, between 12 and 14 minute miles, and fortunately, I haven't had any problems, and I feel like I'm getting stronger as I go along.
I got to jump in and tell you, Tony, Richard draws some of his motivation from his long line of winning sports teams that he's a big fan of. He's an Alabama guy, and, of course, the Crimson Tide, and he's a New Englander, so he's got the New England Patriots and Boston Red Sox. Now, you know, when you're a sports fan, you can draw a lot of motivation from winning teams, right, Richard?
Well, yeah. I have to put Alabama football at the top of my list, though.
They play football there?
They play touch football after school.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was like dorm and fraternity leagues.
No, it's football seems to be a fairly big activity in the Southeast. And I was fortunate enough to, in 1958, start being a big fan of Alabama. I went to Alabama, but being a big fan of Coach Bear Bryant, and then going to Alabama and watching the team. So I've been a fan for over 50 years now.
They have some excellent pedigree. I will give you that.
Richard is, by the way, his website, everybody, is 20at60.com, and that's 20at60.com, and that's 20 miles a day at age 60. So, Tony, to your question, is how's he holding up? At 60 years old, I'm venturing to guess that Richard's probably in the 98th percentile of runners. I don't think there's more than 2% of guys his age that can do what he's doing.
Absolutely not. And If you don't believe that, check, just get online and check Arizona Roadrunners. There's a number of websites, and that 55 bucket seems to be the age that there's a dramatic fall off in the numbers, and he's to be commended for that especially.
Well, when you're 6 feet and 200 pounds like me, running 20 miles sounds like a long way, but Richard's got some good genetic to work with, because he's one of these short lightweight. He's in the lightweight division of fighters, yeah. So he's out there fighting in the lightweight division, right, Richard?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I'm vertically challenged.
Yeah, when we talked about stopping and getting sodas and so forth. You know, I don't assume yours is Slurpees or donuts or peanuts, as Scott and I would grab.
Well, you know what? I burn about 3,600 to 4,500 calories during the time I run. So I really, whatever strikes me is something I want. That's usually what I get. I've been switching drinks. I'm really sick of the sports drinks like Gatorade. I've had so much of it. I'm on tomato juice now when I go in, and I'm still holding to Fig Newton bars. For some reason, I'm just attached to those. So, I mean, I can pretty much eat anything I want, but it's just really what catches my eye when I go in and what my stomach feels like taking.
You know, Richard, you're in the part of the country, I got to ask, because, I live in San Diego, and we're here in a studio in Phoenix, Arizona, where I think, people still, generally speaking, you can find a great deal of affluence in these two cities. But what are you seeing out there as you run from small town to small town. You must be running through some pretty interesting little towns where America's all but gone.
I tell you, what really is striking is, and I am going through these small towns that consist of three or four houses. Some of them don't even have stores. Like, especially in North Florida, what I noticed was, I think instead of being considered, a full town, it's basically a county, you know, where there's a government office, there's a post office, there are a few stores, but some of these that I would consider towns, I mean, there's really nothing there, but what is consistent throughout is are empty storefronts, and it is really sad that you just go through these towns, and it's like a dust bowl. I mean, it is one closed store after another.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrible, you know, that this has been going on now for a couple of years. And, you know, Richard, I'm taking a look at your website here, and it's phenomenal what you're doing. And I just got to say, you know, you're a major inspiration for a lot of folks out there. So to our listeners, you know, make sure to check out Richard's website, a bunch of information. I noticed, Richard, as well, under your fun facts here, that you use a large jar of Vaseline for your feet every 2 weeks. I mean, I just can't imagine. How are you holding up? That's just amazing to think about what great shape you're in as well. And
I use that because there's so much friction. In each of the 20 miles I run a day, it's approximately 41,000 steps. So no matter how hard the bottoms of my feet are, I still need some kind of lubrication between my toes because of the rubbing. And I just put gobs of Vaseline on just you know, to avoid the blisters that I got at the very beginning. And it actually works. I just have to use so much of it.
Yeah, I understand, Richard, completely. When I was running competitively back in the, 2000 to 2007, before my daughter was born, I was running 5Ks, 10Ks, and half marathons. Pretty much Vaseline was the savior of your feet. You, before your run and after your run, you just kind of took care of, it was just part of your day of your daily routine. So if one thing's for sure, that company's not going out of business as long as there's runners out there, huh?
I don't think Johnson & Johnson's going anywhere.
No.
I will have to mention, it's kind of disheartening when you look off, because sometimes I'm having to run 12, 15 miles, and there is nothing. There are no convenience stores. There are no gas stations. And I'm not carrying water because I don't like to be bogged down with extra stuff. So it is disheartening when you look off in the distance and you see a nice big BP, sign or a Shell gas station sign, and you think, just another mile, I'm stopping to get something to drink, and then you run up to it, and it's, been closed for 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's happened quite a bit, and it's really sad, and it's also painful when I've been anticipating getting something to drink after 12 or 15 miles.
Well, Richard, we're getting close to the end. Why don't you go ahead and plug your site and tell everybody where to find you?
Yeah, it's, again, it's 2208@60.com. And just, I'm trying to do a blog every day, and people that, are more than able to make comments on my website, and you can read all about it. And, I'm trying to put pictures on it and videos and trying to make it interesting, and I think I've done that so far. So,
well, Richard, you're using technology well. You're using the social media and your website and your blog, and so hats off to you. You're fitting right in with Click and Brick Marketing and all of the technology. Before your run's over, we're going to set up a mobile space where people can text to donate. We'll talk about that in an upcoming show, and we'll have you back soon, Richard.
All right, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Richard.